Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. A happy Thursday to you. Hope you've had a great week. Well, time again on this show, we like to do something we call a spiritual reset. And when we've done this before, we've done it twice over the last couple of years, we hear so much from so many of you of do it again, do it again. And so the last time we did a spiritual reset, we focused on the ways that the enemy comes against us in the ways of diminishment, discouragement, and distraction. Well, today, this first hour of Live the Promise, we're going to do another spiritual reset. So if you're able, get a journal, get your Bible, get a cup of coffee, and settle in somewhere. But if you're driving in the car, you can do this too. When I play music and kind of set up the music, use the music time as just time to pray. Pray along with the words of the song. Pray and search your heart. These are the three things I'm going to address this first hour. Are you ready? Worry. What are the things you're worrying about right now? What are the things you're worrying about? Maybe the things that wake you up at night. And then waiting. Every single one of us is in a not yet season. Every single one of us has something in the area of our lives where we long to see a breakthrough in. And it's in that place, in that time where we can lose heart, lose perspective. In fact, if you're really in that place and you're just weary of the waiting, wondering if life will ever change, you've got to stay tuned for second hour because Charlotte Gamble is my guest. And we actually pre-recorded second hour this morning with her. And the title of her book is The Miracle in the Middle. And everything she had to say was pure gold about that in-between season. It's a season that can either make you or break you. So I feel like this first hour will just tee up second hour in a significant way. But if you're in the not yet season, you know what? It matters what you tell yourself about this season. It matters what you believe about God in this season. So we're going to just take some time to reframe our perspective, especially on the things that we're waiting for. And then wondering. So often we look around and we take our cues from the news. If you listen often enough, you hear me address this, that we can gaze at the news. I mean, we can glance at the news, but we need to gaze at the Lord. If we fix our eyes on the chaos of the world, we'll lose heart in no time. And so maybe you're in that place where you've been looking too long at the chaos of the world, the moral implosion, the political and economic climate, and it's stressing you right out the door. And you might find yourself wondering about the future, wondering about your retirement, wondering about your kids or your grandkids or your job. Are you wondering about such things? How do we find peace amidst such a season of global instability? Well, we're going to talk about that. So as I said, if you're able, grab a cup of coffee, get a Bible, get a journal. It'd be really great if you could sit down and journal as I ask you questions. So basically, I'll touch on these things, worry, waiting, and wonder, and then I'll do a little teaching on them, okay? And then I'm going to set up a song, and you're going to hear a song, and in that time, you're going to pray and just search your heart, ask God to speak to you, and then I'll come back and address the next points. So I've got a number of good songs for you, and again, if you're driving, you can just as well engage by just praying as you drive. Okay, so this first thing I want to talk about is worry. And the Bible says, do not worry. And it's easier said than done, isn't it? We find lots of legitimate reasons to worry. But I love Dr. Warren Wiersbe's commentaries. They read like devotionals, for me anyway. And in his New Testament commentary on that famous passage in Philippians 4 that says, be anxious for nothing and everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And you know what? When we do that, he grants us peace that passes understanding. He invites us in the face of our worry to embrace a heart of thanksgiving. Because when we worry, we forget we're blessed. And so when we're worrying, it's like we go spiritually blind and we go spiritually deaf. So in that place, there is a way to find peace. There's a way to find perspective, but it's not like waving worry away like it's this irritating gnat. We actually have to wrestle it to the ground, put it under our feet, and choose a different perspective. This is what Dr. Wiersbe writes. He says, what is worry? Well, the Greek word translated anxious in Philippians 4:6 means to be pulled in different directions. Do you notice how worry does that? It pulls you one way, then it pulls you the other. He says, our hopes pull us in one direction. Our fears pull us in the opposite direction, and we're pulled apart. The old English root from which we get our word worry means to strangle. Think about that. If you have ever really worried, you know how it does strangle a person. In fact, worry has definite physical consequences. headaches, neck pains, ulcers, even back pains. Worry affects our thinking, our digestion, and even our coordination. That's a scientific fact. Isn't that something? Well, from the spiritual point of view, worrying is wrong thinking and wrong feeling of the heart. Wrong thinking in the mind, wrong feeling in the heart about our circumstances, about people, and about things. And Dr. Wiersbe says that worry is the greatest thief of joy. He says it's not enough for us, however, to tell ourselves just quit worrying, because that will never capture a thief. To say quit worrying will never capture this thief. Worry is an inside job, he says, and it takes more than good intentions to get the victory. The antidote to worry, listen, is a secure mind. As Scripture says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and your minds. And that is translated, garrison, guard like a soldier. So the peace of God will guard like a soldier your mind and your heart as you trust in Christ Jesus. So when you have a secure mind, the peace of God guards you and the God of peace guides you. That's what Wiersbe says. Listen to that again. When you have a secure mind, when you shore up your thought life, you fix your eyes on Jesus, you determine right in the face of scary circumstances, Jesus tells me not to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust him instead. And something to remember is that faith and worry, you know, trust and worry, those are opposing forces. So you basically turn your back on one to behold the other. So either turn your back on worry and behold the trust that God invites you to, or you turn your back on trust and you behold the thing you're worrying about. So here again, listen to Wiersbe's words. When you have a secure mind, the peace of God guards you and the God of peace guides you. With that kind of protection, why worry? If we are to conquer worry and experience a secure mind, we must meet the conditions that God has laid down. And there's three: right praying, right thinking, and right living. Think about that. Renew your mind. Obey what God says and do what he says and trust his word. And so here's the question for you as you consider the things that are keeping you up at night. I asked the question on Facebook, what are you worrying about? And just, you know, we're all the same. Different people are saying finances, family, children, my health, so many of these same things. As we hear this song from Leland, it's called Refresh Me. I want you to ask yourself these questions. What pattern of thinking have I developed that has actually weakened me? Because this is what happens. This is where we lose our track. This is where we lose perspective. This is where our gut ties up in knots, when we lose our joy. When we establish a pattern of thinking, and it maybe just is easier to go to that place, or our circumstances make it feel true, so we just rehash and rehearse. What pattern of thinking have you developed that's actually weakened you? Now get before God and confess that weakness. In fact, boast of that weakness. In other words, get before God and say, here I am. This is where I've gone in my thoughts. And Lord, I can't do this different apart from you. So would you refresh me? Reset my perspective. Help me fix my eyes on you. Fill me with the gift of faith once again. So I want you to hear the words of this song by Leland, Refresh Me. Pray along with the song. And if you've got a journal, just write down some of your answers to these questions and maybe write out a prayer. God, show me, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Give me the perspective you want me to have about these very things that are stressing me out.
refresh me. Oh God, refresh me.
Do you know God loves to answer prayers like that? Refresh me, God, because that's the desire of his heart, is to refresh us. Hey, if you just tuned in, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we're doing this again. We've done it two other times before and re-aired those shows. They're called Spiritual Reset Shows, where we just pause and take some time to reframe our perspective. It's almost like a car when the wheel pulls left. We just have to pull it back on track again. Our perspective can sometimes take us right into the ditch. And so doing this Spiritual Reset Show today, we're addressing three things: worry, waiting, and wonder, the things that keep you up at night and stress you about. So we've been talking about worry. We got a little bit more about that. And then we're going to talk about the waiting and the not yet season and how to keep perspective in the not yets when you're waiting for the breakthrough. And then just when you wonder about tomorrow, you look at the global climate around us and you wonder about things. How do you keep perspective? So if you're driving in your car, when I play the songs, this is a time for you just to pray. But if you're at a place where you can pull out a journal or a notebook, I'm going to touch on these three things and then ask you some questions. And it's just a good time to journal, to get before the Lord, see what he would have to say to you. But the whole purpose of the reset is to look at what you've been looking at and then reframe your perspective from a biblical point of view. So a little bit more about this worry tendency that we have. Psalm 37 says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity or the workers of sin, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they will wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Over and over again, it says in Scripture, not to look at the wicked. It seems like they get away with murder, and they does seem like it, but one day their season will dry up. One day Jesus will balance the scales. But you, man of God, you, woman of God, trust in the Lord. Do good. Do what he says and dwell in the land. Trust him, and he will give you the desires of your heart as you delight in him. And I've unpacked that on past shows, what it means to delight in him. But basically it says, you know, pray about the concerns of your heart and bring them before him, but then press on to know his heart. Delight in knowing him as your friend, as your savior, as your prince of peace. He's not just a means to an end. He's not just a rich father, although he is the richest of fathers, but he is someone who wants to be known by you. So as you delight in the nature and the person of who he is, and you enjoy him more than any gift you can get from his hand, it's something how your heart starts to beat in rhythm with his, right? And so delight in him is the best gift. So any gift from his hand pales in comparison to knowing his heart. Delight in the Lord. Follow his way. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. See that he's good. The Bible says in several cases, do not fret, for it only leads to evil. And it only causes harm. And fret, the way that word is broken down, it's like wearing the carpet threadbare, going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth around the thing that's worrying you, that's stressing you out, that's angering you. The Bible says don't do it. Why? Because it'll harm you and it'll lead to evil. Because if you've convinced yourself again and again that you've got reason for anger, for worry, for fear, whatever your angst is, suddenly you feel justified in your next steps after that. So don't do that. Delight in the Lord. In fact, in Proverbs 16, it says to commit your way to the Lord. And also another passage, it says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he will sustain you. In that passage, it's like roll your burdens onto the Lord. Roll them onto, don't carry them to the point where they crush you. Roll your burdens onto the Lord. And then back to that Proverbs 16 passage, it says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. What I think is so interesting is that word commit translates very similar to the cast your cares verse, where it's like you do your works and we get into that striving place. Well, he says, take even your actions and roll them on to me, because what I can do with them is far greater than what you can do. And sometimes we stress out because our works won't be enough. Our offering won't be enough. And if you think of the little boy who gave Jesus his lunch, it was so generous of him to do that. There were thousands and thousands of people who needed to be fed. If he would have given his lunch to just somebody else, that would have been nice. But one person would have had lunch and he would have had none. But he gave it to Jesus. Everybody ate, including him, and there were some left over. Oftentimes when we get into striving, we work like it's all up to us. Well, we can work hard. We should work hard. Work like it's all up to you, but don't believe that it's all up to you. Pray like it's all up to God. So casting your cares, rolling your cares on him is one thing, but also committing your actions and your works, rolling those onto him too, to see what he will do with your offering. You can trust him. You can trust him. So it's time amidst your worry to make the declaration that God is the strength of your heart, that it's his love that's holding you. This next song I'm going to play from Wren Collective, it's called Strength of My Heart. I love this song because it's a declaration. You are the strength of my heart. Your love is holding me. So as you start to think about wondering if your efforts are going to be enough, worrying about the things that are keeping you up at night, remember you're an heir. You belong to Jesus. You have a beautiful, wonderful, wealthy, heavenly Father who's completely taken with you. And what he wants from you is your trust. Do you trust him? So use this time, whether you're driving in the car or journaling now, to pray and start to declare. And if you can catch on to the song, sing it out loud so that your own ears hear it, because that will strengthen your heart. But make the declaration here in the next few minutes. Jesus, you are the strength of my heart. You are holding me. You're going to make sure that you finish what you started in me. Take some of that land back, that land you've given up to worry and angst. Take it back. Quit fretting and stand in the promise that he is the strength of our heart. Listen in.
Stronger than any weakness. invincible, my strong tower. You are unshakable, mighty Savior. Your love's unbreakable. You're the strength of my heart.
Feel your faith just rising up as you listen. You're the strength of my heart. Your love is holding on. You are anchored to Him and He is anchored to you. You know what? Seasons are going to come and go. God is always faithful. And guess what? He will have the last say, not your hard circumstances, not that enemy who threatens and taunts you. Scripture says, put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along His path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. I've seen wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But when I looked again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious, they will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in Him. Talking to you today about a spiritual reset. We talked about worry. When we come back, we're going to talk about that in-between time. How do you find perspective in the not-yet season? And how do you find perspective when you wonder about tomorrow? This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're doing a spiritual reset. Can't wait to chat with you. Back in a moment. Whole thing. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And we're doing this back by popular demand. We're doing a spiritual reset show. We did the first one a couple of years ago, but we just took some time out, you and I, just together here, and just took some time for a spiritual reset. We need to do that once in a while because we lose focus, we lose perspective, we let go of faith because we get beat up by our circumstances or just, you know, run down by the everyday life. So the three things we're addressing on this particular spiritual reset is worry, in waiting, and wonder. We've just covered worry the first half of the show, so if you just tuned in and you battle with worry and need perspective, go back and catch the podcast. It'll be up in a little bit. But now we're going to talk about the waiting season, you know, that not-yet season. Every one of us, in some way or another, is waiting for some kind of breakthrough or praying for an answer to see something change. In fact, if you are right smack in the middle of a valley and you wonder if you'll ever see a breakthrough, I'm telling you, friend, you have to listen to Second Hour today because I pre-recorded it earlier this morning with Charlotte Gamble, and what she had to say about that middle season was honestly pure gold. It was excellent. But we're going to talk a little bit here about that waiting season. I'm just learning at this age, after walking with the Lord for quite a number of years, that the thing that we're waiting for, as great and biblical as it may be, you know what? It pales in comparison to what we have right here, right now in Jesus. I felt like I knew that and learned that on a somewhat of a level in my 20s. Then I learned it in a deeper level in my 30s, and then a deeper level in my 40s, and now in my early 50s, I'm learning it on such a profound level that I'm wishing I would have known this earlier, that the thing that I want so much from God, even though it's in line with Scripture, it's in line with His desire, if I have a measure of angst that is stealing my joy, then the thing I want has a measure of idolatry in it, because anything that I want from His hand pales in comparison to knowing His heart. And so if I'm looking to that thing, and if you're looking to that thing, and you won't be happy till you get it, There's something we got to look at there, because we're looking for that thing to affirm us in a way that only Jesus can. And for us to receive what we long for, well, that's wonderful, but you need to know that's not necessarily kingdom power made available to us. And here's what I wrote in my journal. I'm giving you a very inside look at one of my private struggles in personal times with the Lord. And I'm just going to read this, and I pray that it encourages you. It's just a prayer to the Lord, but it says this. How patient you are, great lover of our souls. How it must break your heart when we go from one distraction to another, one angst to another, thinking that if I can just get through this next thing, that I'll be all right, when in truth we already have everything we could possibly want or need, and then some, simply and profoundly, in you. When we finally get our breakthrough or our prayers answered, that's secondary to the primary thing, which is you. When we finally get what we want, that's simply relief. Even though what we want may be totally in harmony with what you want, any and every gift from your hand pales in comparison to knowing your heart. So we bring our request before you, Lord. We entrust our cares to you, and then we press on to know you more. I'm 52 years old, and it seems I'm just starting to learn something I wished I'd known the answer to. I'm wishing so badly I could have known this in my earlier years, that the breakthrough isn't totally what I seek. It's more of you that I need. The answer to the angst in my heart isn't breakthrough in prayer or finally getting what I want. That mindset keeps me in this perpetual cycle of my wants, my perspective, and my personal comfort. The answer for my angst isn't that I finally receive what I ask for. The answer for my angst right here, right now, is in the person of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my Prince of Peace. I turn from my angst and I delight in a much deeper way in the presence and the power of Almighty God. I touch his hem yesterday when I learned this, and nothing, no, nothing compares to him. More of you, Jesus, more of you in me. How do we walk worthy in a way pleasing and worthy of the Lord? It's in Colossians 1:10. We bear fruit in every good work. We grow in the knowledge of God, and we're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And then the rest of that passage says that we may have great endurance and patience and joyful thanksgiving to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us in to the kingdom of his Son, whom he dearly loves. And in him we have the redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So in this not yet season, there's a possibility, in fact, there's a great potential to bear fruit in every good work. As Charlotte will say next hour, she learned to turn her sorrow into seeds, and she saw the opportunity for a harvest for faithfulness. There's an opportunity for that, right? And then to grow in the knowledge of God, because as you're waiting for a gift from his hand, press on to know his heart, because there's something of God that he wants to show you of himself. And when we are in the cycle of perpetually our needs, our angst, our want, the breakthrough, until the next need and the next angst comes, he still loves us. We're still saved. But you know what? We miss out, I think, in the best of what God has for us. In the midst of those not yet seasons and those times of heartbreak and disappointment, we must remember that there's aspects of our story that are so significant to the greater story God is writing on the earth today. And whatever it is our need, that is to compel us to pray on a bigger way. So when we're able to look up from our heartbreak and discern how it mirrors on a bigger scale what's going on in the world today, and press in to know God's heart, and instead of becoming a pouter, becoming a fierce warrior and someone who prays on a bigger scale, then we become a force to reckon with. So this next song we're going to play now is called Child of God by Catherine Scott. And I want you now, as you pause and you think about in the not yet, there be a day, if you trust God, you keep walking, you're going to see breakthroughs in some ways that you'd hope for and other ways beyond what you'd hope for. But here, right now, in the midst of your not yet season, can you remember who you are? Because you're a child of God. So spend this time in this song. If you're driving, just pray. If you're sitting, maybe write out a prayer about just reaffirming who you are to God and who he is to you. Listen in.
With every breath. from what is seen to the deepest part. I offer all that I've come to be, to know your love fathering me.
Most beautiful songs I think I've ever heard. That's Child of God by Catherine Scott. We're doing a spiritual reset today. The topic that we're on right now is that in between time, that not yet season, it is truly an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to know God more. And you're a child of God. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. You're not what you've done. You're not what you do. You're someone he loves. But as we travel on this earth till we see him face to face, there's going to be not yet seasons, cries of our hearts, troubles in our spirits. And if amidst our desperate cries to God for pain, for the pain in our soul, we press on in that place to experience the power of the risen Christ and fellowship with him right in the midst of our not yet season, you know what? We will find a fullness in him that no answer to prayer or breakthrough can bring us. And to me, that's what it means for the joy of the Lord to be our strength. We so often want to feel relief from our difficult circumstances. I know I do. I do. But what God longs for us is to experience his resurrection power amidst those circumstances. He does ache. When we ache, he hurts for us. But there's something we have available to that we've not yet touched in God. If we perpetually go from angst to answer, He delights in every detail. He wants to answer the desires of our heart, but He wants us to press on to maturity, because in the place of need, in the place of want, you look up and say, you still know I want this stuff. You know I need this. And some of these things are your desires in my heart. But you're the greatest gift. I want to know you, Lord. You know, for me personally, when it comes to experiencing this resurrection power I'm talking about, I feel like I've been twiddling around in the kiddie pool while the ocean is just a few steps away from me. But I want to know this. I want to know right here, right now, that kingdom power that God has made freely available to me. And I want to get caught up in that cycle of angst and relief, alternately getting my way and then complaining when I don't, and just simply living from one need to the next. I have all I need in Him. You have all you need in Him. And the more we get to know Him, the wider the gap becomes between anything this earth has to offer and everything that God has promised us right here, right now. I want to know Him like this, and I feel like you probably do too. Paul does too, Philippians 3:10-11. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I experience a resurrection from the dead. We're going to play another Catherine Scott song, When I Survey. I want you to think about what happened at the cross, because it happened for you, and it changes everything. It's a game changer. We don't have to wait to see Jesus face to face to experience the resurrection power, because He says right here, right now, that resurrection power is alive in you, available to you in your circumstances. Let's listen in.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the
small.
love demands my soul. My life, my all.
Another one of the greatest hymns ever written. When I survey, think of that line, where the whole realm of nature mine would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. I'm telling you what, when you think, when you stop and survey the wondrous cross, when you marvel, as Jesus has said, marvel that your name is written in the book of life. Nothing will keep you grounded like that. When you wake up every day, not in a perpetual guilt-ridden, can't believe he had to save me, but I celebrate that he did. And we've talked now about worry. We've talked about the waiting, the in-between time. We're going to spend the last, 7 minutes talking about the wonder. When you look around and you wonder about the future, and maybe you're unnerved about a potential another economic collapse, or wondering about the moral implosion or the political landscape. There's lots to wonder about. But let's take our eyes for a moment off of the news and the chaos so we can assess where we're at internally speaking, because sometimes people wonder if they're saved. You've been in church all your life, but you don't know if you have saving faith. And Scripture does say that there'll be many who are surprised, some who thought they were safe, and the enemy wants nothing more than for you to have a false sense of security. Dr. Wiersbe says, beware of mere intellectual faith. No man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same any more than he can come into contact with a 220-volt wire and remain the same. He that hath the Son has life, and he had not have the Son does not have life. Dead faith is not saving faith. Dead faith is counterfeit faith, and it lulls the person into a false confidence of eternal life. He says, it's not a saving experience to believe and even tremble. A person can be enlightened in his mind and even stirred in his heart, but still be lost forever. True saving faith involves something more, something that can be seen and recognized. It's a changed life. It's not that the change saves us. The change reflects the salvation that happened inside of us. So Dr. Wiersbe issues some questions to ask ourselves just to get a sense of where we're at spiritually. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, right? He said, here's some questions we can ask ourselves to examine our hearts. One, was there a time when I honestly realized I was a sinner and admitted this to myself and God? And so, as he said before, love, he loves everybody, but love doesn't save us. We're saved by grace through faith. Was there a time in your life where you stopped and said, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. There's a wrath that is to come, and I don't want to be part of it. I trust in Christ's salvation for me. Another question, he says, was there a time when my heart stirred me to flee from the wrath that is to come? Have I ever been seriously ashamed over my sin? Do I truly understand the gospel that Christ died for my sins and arose again? Do I understand and confess that I cannot save myself? Did I sincerely repent of my sins and turn from them? Or do I secretly love sin and want to enjoy it? So do you shrug your shoulders, kind of say, I've gone to church and I've said the prayer, but nothing has changed? Does your sin bother you? He says, have I trusted Christ and Christ alone for my salvation? Do I enjoy a living, breathing relationship with him through the word and in his spirit? Has there been a change in my life? Do I maintain good works, or are my works occasional and weak? Do I seek to grow in the things of the Lord? Can others tell that I've been with Jesus? Do I have a desire to share Christ with others, or am I ashamed of him? Do I enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Is worship a delight to me? Am I ready for the Lord's return, or will I be ashamed when he comes for me? And then he writes, to be sure, not every Christian has the same personal experience, and there are degrees of sanctification, but for the most part, the preceding spiritual inventory can assist a person in determining his true standing before the Lord. And then he references Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in your everlasting way. Know this, that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. If you're trusting him to save you, he will get you safely home. And so in this world, we have trouble. But he says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And why should we be of good cheer if he's overcome? Because now overwhelming victory belongs to us. And this is why the Bible tells us again and again, fix your eyes on what is eternal, not what is seen, because what you see will pass away. It's temporary. But what is unseen, that's going to last forever. Another passage says, the troubles that we're enduring, these are light and momentary afflictions. They don't feel like it all the time, but compared to the weight of glory that we will know and see when we see Jesus, there'll be no comparison. So it matters how you steward your perspective. I want you to hear one last song. by Matt Gilman. It's called The New Jerusalem. I want you to know what we are looking forward as Christ followers. We're looking forward to the New Jerusalem. Listen to these words. I mean, worship. If you're driving, only put one hand in the air, but enjoy this song. I could have you hear that whole song, but we're running out of time. I want to leave you with a few thoughts here. We had David and Jason Benham on the show recently, and they talked about the internal demons, and one of them said, if we don't slay the internal demons, you won't have the power to slay the dragon that's in your land. As Christians, we can shout all day long against the politics about what's happening outside. We can shout about the impotence of the church, but we're the church. And so the first battle that they talk about that we need to win is the personal battle, personal holiness, personal obedience, our personal response time when the Lord asks us to do something. And if we can win in the personal battle, then we can win in the corporate battle. That's the church battle, the church divisions. We can have a voice at the table when we are walking in holiness and power. If we can win at the corporate level, we can influence at the kingdom level, the kingdom battle, the world influence. But as long as we're not willing to take inventory of our own personal walk and how we walk, and we're pointing fingers and shouting about the culture wars, we will be impotent and we won't have influence. Scripture talks about in Malachi that those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened and wrote down what they said. And he makes a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. We might look like we blend in with the world, but I say this often, heaven knows who's who in the zoo. Heaven knows whose hearts are turned towards Jesus and not. And I pray this spiritual reset has blessed you. I'm going to just pray because we're going to be out here in just a minute. But I dare you to press in more with the Lord. I dare you to let him speak to your soul and refine your character and redirect and correct, so that he can use you as a person of influence. We need you. The world needs your influence. Well, Father, thank you for my friend listening today. Bless them. Bless them. Draw them near. Pour out your spirit in a fresh, new way. Give them a perspective like they've never known before. Help us, Lord, to walk as people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think we could have done that for 2 hours. Don't go away. Power Hour up next with Charlotte Gamble. Hour 2 of Live the Promise is up next.